So as I was reading this passage this week, my first read through was, I thought, Ephesians is full of so many good positive things, and here we are talking about what we shouldn't do. And I think, not that I don't think that's important, but I always wonder why the lectionary verses sometimes begin with the therefore instead of what happened in the beginning. So what is it that Paul was trying to say to the Ephesians when he gave them this list of things that they shouldn't be doing? So he bookends this whole passage with this idea. To put on the new self, created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness. And then comes the therefore, each of you must put off falsehood. So I want us to think about that today. What does it mean to put on that God self, to be the face of God? And is it even possible for us to do that? I think it is. I think that we are the hands and feet and voice and face of God for so many things. It's what we pray for. It's what we look to do. And that's what we're going to be talking about today. So let's join in prayer first. God, we thank you for the words in Scripture that help us to understand you better. With whatever grounding we have in you, let us know you better. Let the Scripture help us to understand what it means to be your face and your love and your voice for the world, for justice, for peace, and just plain for love and compassion. So thank you for this, and help us in our understanding of this today. In your name we pray. Amen. So Ephesians is one of those books that is talked about so much. So much of it is positive, some of it is downright cruel to some people, and they don't understand it. But what Paul is really trying to do here is to speak to a group of people and help them in their understanding of what it means to look like God, to look and feel like the Spirit of God is within us, to help us to be those people that live in peace and harmony with God. This whole passage begins with the unity of the body of Christ. Paul says, as a prisoner for the Lord, then I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling you have received. Be completely humble and gentle. Be patient, bearing with one another in love. Make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called to be one hope when you were called, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God, who is over all, who is through all, and in all. I think this passage is so important to us today because we are sharing communion together. It's something that unifies us in the idea that we are one, that we are one in the body, that we take this communion into ourselves, and that it unifies all of us in this light that we all are combined together. And also in light of ordination that we're doing this next week, the calling that we all have that is unique to each of us is part of that unity. If we all did the same thing, how could we unify in being a whole body? Paul also talks about the body of Christ in terms of what we all do and how it is different. Those things that are listed about the things that we don't do are important to us too, because I think we sometimes need guidelines. What is it that our morality encompasses? But I think if we're always in that place of love and we are always unified in that love, that we really can't go outside of compassion and do things that are destructive to other people, because that sort of is the antidote, as we're trying to learn in our book group about judgment detoxes, letting go of all of those other things, and what is it that keeps us from the negative in our lives. So what is it to put on the face of God, and when can we do it? Can we do it all the time? Can we do it with our families? Can we do it with our friends? Can we do it with people that we don't know? What does it mean to unify the body? And who is the body? Those are all really important questions to our grounding in this idea that we are to be the face of God. Because if we are the face of God to our family, to our loved ones, then we also need to be the face of God to those people we don't know. To those people who come into our paths and have needs or wants, or maybe they need a door opened, or maybe they don't need anything at all, but they know that we are unified as people. So can we be the face of God? Can we let go of our anxieties and our woes in the world? Can we do all of those things that this passage says? Sometimes it seems impossible. Some days it feels impossible because we're people, we're human beings. We get our feelings hurt, we get tired. But we can always grasp to that hope that we have God within us, in our community. I think that as Phil was going through the last days of his life, even though he didn't really even know who he was anymore, he responded to the touch of his hand, to a kind voice. When you no longer have the ability to be the face of God in some ways, the face of God still comes to us in the kindness and love that is God. Phil was talking about someone who believed that Jesus was not a real human being, but an allegory, an allegory to follow in our lives. And although I disagree with that idea, I also feel that people have the right to think the way they need to be able to ground themselves in purpose. So even though Jesus to this man was an allegory, Jesus was still important. He was an Anglican priest, right? So the grounding ideas of who Jesus is and who God is are the things that make us whole. When we read about what Jesus did and who the real Jesus was, in my opinion, Jesus was the face of God in the ways of love and nurturing to his disciples and the people around him, in compassion and love to people who were sick and dying. For those who had loved ones dying, Jesus was that face. That when people looked at Jesus, they knew. When we look at someone who is in need or someone who makes us angry, we can still put ourselves aside and say, what would Jesus do? I know it's an old cliche and it was a big thing, you know, in the 80s, 90s, but what would Jesus do? Jesus was a human being like us, and it wasn't easy. I think that our sign out there should maybe say something about how kindness isn't always easy to do, that sometimes kindness is hard. Sometimes, and a lot of times, doing the right thing and believing things that are true and real and good are hard because people don't agree with us. It's sometimes hard to be kind to somebody that you maybe don't even like. And yet, you know, Jesus put all of those things aside. I think we can do that too, and I think we do that. As hard as it is to be kind sometimes, that is the face of God, isn't it? We taught all of the kids in camp to believe in their true colors, their good colors, that deeply they are good people, that we all are good people. And when we shine, when we use those gifts that God gave us, that we are the face of God. So, yes, there are some passages in the Bible that tell us not to do things. And the whole purpose in that, especially for Paul, because he bookends those kinds of comments with, put on the garments of God, be the light of God, be the face of God. There are guidelines. When we teach our children, it takes them a while to understand guidelines, doesn't it? The people of Ephesus that Paul was writing to, they hadn't been Christians for very long, it seems. And they needed some guidelines, because sometimes societies don't have guidelines that are good to people. All for one, one for all is not always what's going on. We live in kind of a me sort of society here that says that you have to do for number one. You have to do everything for yourself. But the interesting thing is that when we get so bottled up in self-giving, we forget about the other, and we begin to feel very negative about ourselves. I saw a post on Facebook from this young woman who I love dearly, who we have had hope for a long time that her life would turn around. She got pregnant accidentally and had a baby, and the father of the baby is her partner now. Her baby is everything to her, and she wrote a long post on Facebook about if she hadn't had this baby, her life never would have turned around. To love another human being, to give of herself is what changed her. To be the face of love is what made her happy and made her life whole. We may think that giving is hard, and sometimes it is, but it's nurturing to us to give to each other, and it's what gives life meaning. We have nothing when we don't have each other. When we have each other, we have fullness. To be able to be the face of God and have that well up inside of us, that love, it's so important. Sometimes we don't even realize how much our caring nurtures us in return. So let's think about our calling, because we all have a calling. Joanna's is to be a chaplain right now. Mine is to be a pastor, and many other things for both of us. But all of us have a calling. All of us have that God-given gift that helps us to be something good in the world, to be the face of God. This is turning everything on its head that the world tells us. When we are self-giving and nurturing, we build ourselves up in a way that we can't even imagine when it begins. This young woman really thought that her life was best when she could sit around at home drinking and doing drugs and doing whatever she wanted to do and not what the world wanted her to do. And when she found that she could give herself to this child and her husband, that life changed for her. Now her life is full. Her life is beautiful. Her life isn't easy. She can't sit around and drink and do nothing anymore because she's got 24/7 child that needs care and love. But that feeds her. It gives her joy. Our joy is in being the face of God, of understanding that divine in us, that God puts in us, that the Bible says that we're born with. So, yes, we can be the face of God. We can be the hands of God. And at the same time, we are that for ourselves. As we nurture and grow and learn and love, we become a better part of ourselves. We become those gifts that God gave us to be. So let's shine our beautiful faces of God's love. Be the face of God. Understand that we are given that gift and that it is joy. It is utter joy to be God in the world. We are not actually God, but we are given that peace. I don't even know how to explain it. But there is divine in all of us, that true self, that beautiful self that I see in all of your faces, that I love in all of you. So let us go from here and shine that light and bring our joy and complete ourselves in that mission. Amen.